Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. As many of you know, we have been having ongoing discussions about first-time offenders serving life and life without parole sentences. Men and women who have committed their first and only offense prior to their 25th birthday, and many who have served 20 years or more of their sentences thus far. We've spoken about the issues leading to the incarceration of many young people. We have had advocates on the show who have talked about their own issues, which led them to prison, and how they want to work with young people in the prevention of school-to-prison pipeline. However, today we have on with us a unique guest who has incorporated a lot of her skills and talents into a wealth of resources for the young and older in need of assistance. Volunteerism comes naturally to Jessica Rowe. I'm sorry, this morning is kind of early for me sometimes, but anyway, Jessica is a transformational speaker, empowering aspiring entrepreneurs to turn their ideas into realities. She wrote and published a book in 2017 called A New Level Mindset. She discusses her death journey of how she was able to rise out of fear into greatness. So let's welcome Jessica Rowe. Jessica, are you on with us?
Hi, Leon. I am on with you. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning. I want to thank you for being on, and I feel honored that you are willing to be a guest on our show today. So do you want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself before we get into any discussion right now?
Well, I'm, you know, like you so eloquently mentioned, you know, I'm an author, transformational speaker to aspiring entrepreneurs. And what I do with aspiring entrepreneurs is empower them to overcome fears, doubts, and procrastination of turning their ideas into reality. And I got started this way because I went to college, you know, just like everybody else. Not everyone, but, you know, majority of the people in the society, you go to college. And I was looking for a better job than what I already had, and I went and got a degree in criminal justice. And I didn't want to be a police officer, thought about being a lawyer, paralegal, you know, things like that. I've always been into the legal field, even since I can remember when I was young, always into any type of legal shows. So criminal justice really intrigued me. And while in my studies in criminal justice, I learned a lot about at-risk youth, and I'm like, okay, well, at-risk youth need help. They need assistance. You want to prevent them from going to prison, going to juvenile hall. So I started doing a lot of volunteer work while I was in school. And however, after I graduated from school, I graduated early with honors and everything, I was not able to find the type of career path that I wanted. At this point, it had became to a thing of, great, you have the degree, but you don't have the experience. And that was really it was unsettling for me because I went back to school having a young family, working full time. So I'm getting out of work at 5:30 in the evening, and my school wasn't too far from my job, and, you know, I'm rushing there, getting there 3-4 nights a week, and, you know, just doing everything that I need to do to remain up to date and have the grades that I need to process on, you know, finish on, only to not to be able to, I guess, you know, be accepted for the things, the experience that I have and all the work that I did. And it really drove me into anxiety and depression for a while. And as I'm an avid Facebook user. I love Facebook, interacting with new people. And as I was on Facebook, Facebook groups started to become a thing. And I joined a group called Heal a Woman to Heal a Nation. They're based out in Baltimore, Maryland. And after following them for at least a year and really having those women, they graduated from Morgan State, having them really pour into women such as me who were broken, down and depressed, and just really lifting spirits and saying, hey, you know, that thing may have happened to you. You know, you can't control it. Whatever happened, happened. But you can rise up from it. You can rise out of the fear that you have. You can rise out of the depression and anxiety that you have into greatness. And you can do a thing by starting your own business, being your own boss. And I'm like, how am I supposed to do that? I'm supposed to go to school and get this good job. What do you mean starting a business? My thoughts at that time was, you know, business was only for, you know, people who were wealthy, rich, and well off. But they at Healer Woman, Healer Nation really empowered me and inspired me and motivated me to start thinking within and thinking better of myself, knowing my worth, knowing that I am wealthy in spirit and in mind, and it's not all about just money. So I really wanted to pour this into other people, especially people that I would see who were also aspiring entrepreneurs. So I had to change my way of thinking, and that's why I called the book A New Level Mindset. I had to get out of the 9-to-5 thinking and start thinking better and thinking great for myself, knowing that I can prosper, I can do all things that are great. I can start my own business. I can run my own business, and I can still help people through my volunteerism as well. So that's, you know, a little bit about me and how I was able to write that book.
I'll tell you, Jessica, you are an inspiration to a lot of people, especially, I'm sure, the young people. And I know there are so many kids out there today that are so lost, and there are no role models, and it's all about money in this country, and that's the sad thing about it, why a lot of these kids are lost, a lot of people are lost, because they will put money before the necessities of these youngsters, and I know that you have been an inspiration to a lot of them. So some of the young people that you've worked with, I know that you have worked with a lot of female adolescents. What are some of the issues that you find when working with these young people?
Yes, I did volunteer with the organization here in Los Angeles, California, called Path Gramercy. And we were a couple of volunteers, and I, we worked with young women. They were in a transition home. They had children, young children. And they all had, like, you know, different stories, that backgrounds and things that they came from. And this workshop was a part of them being in this program. They had to attend this workshop. I mean, other than them having to work or maybe having to go to school, they had to be a part of the program. And the program advisor, the person who was over the program, she came up with different workshops for the young girls to start, you know, getting more accustomed to. So like finances, academic, eating healthy, those type of things. And when working with some of the young girls, they had to be maybe 18, 19, and maybe in their early 20s, and many of them had one or maybe two children that they had with them. And, you know, just really working with them, a lot of them were going back to school to finish their GED, or they were getting ready to enroll in college, and they just needed some guidance. They needed assistance on how to navigate that path. And it was a difficult and a little challenging for some of them, because they couldn't really read properly or read well, or didn't really understand the dynamics of really going back to school and getting the education and how it can be beneficial to them based on the career field or career path that they chose. And I volunteered there often, almost it was twice a month, and the girls would see us come there, especially the same ones. That was something that was really important to them, because the trust factor of showing up, because in their lives they haven't had that. They haven't had a trust factor. They haven't had stability, or, you know, seeing the same thing over and over again. So I wanted to make sure that I showed up as much as possible, as much as I can, forever how long the program ran. And one girl assumed that many of us were there volunteering as a part of a court order. They didn't realize that we were there on our own will and that we really wanted to help. So, again, it was just a lot of trust factors, a lot of trust issues. Of course, you know, you don't know these people coming in to help you and tell you about your financials or academic things. So you just assume, hey, this is somebody from the court. They really don't care. But once they found out that many of us were showing up on a consistent basis and that we cared, it really helped them to open up more to us and express themselves a little bit more to us so we can help them in better ways.
One of the things I was going to say is I have a strong thing about consistency. And when you mentioned about the stability that's needed in with the work you're doing, stability is very important. And I am a strong advocate for consistency, not only with the adolescents, but with people around the country. I feel that they need more consistency around the country. And one of the things I find, too, is that every state operates differently, but the issues are the same. The issues are the same. So we have the consistency across the country is very important. So we need to focus on consistency and other issues that are going on in the country. Another thing is cultures. Every culture brings forth different types of issues within the adolescents because some kids are born in poverty-stricken areas of the country. Some are born in the more stable environments. Some are born from, as you say, the wealthier neighborhoods. So there are kids that are going to be facing stumbling blocks because of the poverty areas. Some are going to be rebellious because they come from the wealthier areas where they get away with anything they want. And these are the kids that are needy as well because they're crying out for some stability in their lives. And their parents are either out socializing or are too busy to hear them out. There is a lot of issues in those areas. So the cultures are very important because depending on the culture that one comes from, it'll add to the development as they go along in their lives. But getting on to your book, Jessica, A New Level Mindset, can you talk a little bit about that? Because it sounds very interesting.
Well, I really discuss having a growth mindset, being open to new things, possibilities, because if you want to do something different, and, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be in business or, you know, it's any new venture that you're going after, you have to be open. You have to be coachable. You have to want a growth mindset. You have to really want to learn new things, obtain new information, and sometimes that means we have to shed the old programs that we have been taught over, you know, our lifetime. And so we have to be open to new things, exciting things. The way technology is, I mean, even with you and I being able to communicate from a different state or doing a blog talk radio by phone, I mean, that's openness, that's newness, that's being in a growth stage, in a growth mindset stage. And I also talk about taking risks. You really have to take a risk. You can't stay where you are and hoping and wishing that things will change. You have to step outside of your comfort and do something different, and that goes along with the growth mindset. And confidence, and that builds your confidence. So when you're having a growth mindset and you're taking risks, you're stepping out, you're doing new things, that builds your confidence to do even better things on a new level, on a grander scale. And with all of this takes discipline, because I talk about discipline a lot, and habits. You have to change your habits. You have to become more disciplined, and it's a process of becoming someone on a new level, so you're able to achieve your goals and your dreams that you're going after, and stay focused. It's distractions are everywhere, from social media, even though it's a great thing to be a part of. There are times where you have to focus, you have to be disciplined, you have to shut everything down. And, you know, like Lisa Nichols, who was a motivational speaker, says, you have to give people notice. You have to let them know that, hey, I'm doing a new thing for me, a better thing for me, possibly for you, you know, and family. So in order for me to do that, I'm going to have to focus. I'm going to have to pay attention to this thing that this business plan that I'm writing for the next hour, so I can't have any distractions. So if it's not an emergency, please don't call me. You know, turn off the TVs, shut down your notifications on your phone. Go to the settings and turn off the notifications for a while, and write a little note afterwards and say, okay, remember to turn back on your settings. But you have to take time out and be disciplined and be focused, take risks and be coachable and have a growth mindset if you want to see your dreams become a fruition. You want to see your vision be better than, you know, come to reality. That's what you want to do. So those are the things that I hone in on. I talk about my experiences going through that process and how it wasn't easy, but it is, like I said, it's a process, and you have to be persistent, you have to be consistent, and most of all, you have to have faith and believe and trust the process as you're going along.
Exactly. I notice, too, a lot of times, I experiences, whether they're negative or whether they're positive, experiences mean a lot, because in school, I was a clown in school. I mean, I didn't do well in school, but I graduated, and I went on to college. But one of the things that I found was that it seems like when you have traumas in your life, tragedies in your life, you tend to, even though it's negative, you tend to grow from it. And I, in a tragedy that I had in my life, I mean, I never knew much about geography. I was a bit poor in geography, but a tragedy happened, and I traveled 11 third world countries, and I got to know what other countries were about, and the people of other countries, and how they lived. And I found those countries to be much less stressful, because it's a layback. And in America, everything is so stressed out. People are rushing to do everything, and they're trying to keep up with technology. They're trying to keep up with their, you know, everything, and it's so stressful. But traveling, and I learned a lot about the geography as well. But one of the other things that I learned, and just like you with writing your book, A New Level Mindset, we sometimes pull things out of us that we don't know that we have. And young people today could write books on their own, and their books would sell, because they have a lot of pain inside. They have a lot of trauma inside. There's so many kids that have had things happen to them when they were children that they never talked about. They never disclosed, or they never opened up to anyone about it. And it's sad, because these kids have a wealth of information in them, as young as they may be, that can help others. So it teaches people to, when they have negative experiences, it teaches them to pull out of them, you know, what has happened in their lives to bring them to their stumbling blocks. And that's one of the things I think important as well. But as you say, kids today, they have so many things going on in their lives, and very few role models today. Because a lot of us, we were raised in stable homes with both parents. We were raised in an environment where there were morals. You know, they didn't allow things like piercing of the ears, the noses, the belly buttons. You know, they didn't allow things for kids to be out there, you know, half naked and being thrown out of their houses and in the streets in homeless shelters. They didn't have all these things back then. And if they did, it was very few and far between. But today it's so different. So different.
Yeah. And I get what you were saying about it being a society now being so stressful when it comes to a lot of things, especially to what I've learned with entrepreneurship. It's very stressful. It's a very challenging thing to do. A lot of people, like you said earlier, it's all about money. They're trying to make the money. They want to make this money. They want to quit their jobs. They want to leave their 9-to-5s, and so they go out and they have this product or this service, and it becomes overwhelming and challenging for them, and they give up. And so I learned a lot about that through myself, because I was one of those ones, not necessarily just chasing after the money, but just necessarily just wanted to be, I guess, free of the 9-to-5. And so that brought on some challenges for me, but I was able to learn about self-care and nurturing and loving myself first before I was even start back up trying to write any type of business plans or things like that. And sometimes, you know, with volunteerism, it can be a lot of burnout as well. So I think right now in the society, we talk about mental illness, you know, mental health. That's another thing that needs more, I guess, like your show is called Shedding Light On. We need to talk more about mental health, self-care, self-love, and not only just as an adult, but having kids do that as well. I've read a lot of schools now, instead of giving the kids detention, they do meditation practices with them, and just really helping them learn how to calm themselves down and not getting so stressed out and so antsy. And a lot of times kids come from environments and homes where it is stressful, and they don't have the proper things that they need, whether it be from their parents or just being around people in their neighborhood, in their environments where it's really stressful, and them being children, not really understanding that this is a stressful situation. So when they do get to school, they may act out in a certain way, and I think a lot of the school officials and administrators really need to hone in and take a deeper look at why maybe a child is bullying another child, and, you know, really dive deep into it and make it a priority. So, you know, we won't have the kids in juvenile hall going to prisons, because when they were in the sixth grade, they had all these problems and nobody took awareness to it. I mean, the awareness that they may have taken to it was to suspend them, was to do a parent-teacher conference, and not as a whole, just the teacher and the parent and everybody paying attention to that child and asking that child, what is going on? What's happening?
I am so glad you're saying this, because this is exactly what's needed. It's all about punishment. These kids in this country, it's not about programs. It's about punishment. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that is so needed in the schools. As you say, these kids are acting out. They have to act out some way. It's like people in prison who are trying to get help for the abuses they're going through, and no one, so they start acting out even more so to because they have to vent. And these kids, exactly what you said, is so much needed in the schools. These teachers, these principals, these superintendents, they need to look at the issues. They really, really need to.
They really need to really address it, because it's still happening today, even though they put all these things in place. It's still happening. You get video every now and then that's gone viral from Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or whatever, and you still see the bullying. You still see the negativity. I saw recently, yesterday, one video where a child in the class, I mean, I guess it was high school, he stood up and he really went after the teacher because the teacher used the N-word. And that really, of course, because this was an African-American boy, he stood up, and he stood up for himself and told that teacher that that was not okay that you're using the word. And the teacher was trying to tell him, oh, well, let me explain to you why I use it. He said, no, you have no reason to be using it. You shouldn't even be using it at all. I don't want to hear your explanation. So right then and there, that's a stressful situation for a child that's trying to learn whatever he needs to learn to get through the next grade or get through school. But when you have the teachers, and I'm going to call them out, because my son was a victim of one of his teachers bullying him, and I had to go to the school, and this teacher was also an African-American teacher, and I'm telling him, these boys are looking up to you, and you're bullying them. I said, I know when something is not right with my son, okay? He may not speak a lot, but I can tell as a mother when there's a problem with him, and I had to address the principal and address the teacher and let him know that you are the role model that he has in this class, and he's looking up to you. And for you to bully him and do the things that you've done is unacceptable. So, I mean, I think, too, you know, the principals and the teachers, but the parents, please be, you know, more an advocate for your child. Please be more involved in your child's school. I mean, I understand we work, we have things going on as well, but take the time to go up to the school and see what's going on at that school.
And, you know, Mary, I have to say, too, Jessica, on the news this morning, these kids in school, they went to a McDonald's, a Burger King, and a police officer in Boston, from Boston, was calling them all kinds of racial slurs. I mean, he's off the right now he's off the force, I guess, pending investigations. But it was all over the news this morning in Boston. This racial thing is going on everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Oh, 1 minute. The kids today, they go out just to have a good time, and a McDonald's, a Burger King, and then this racial thing happens. One of the things is these people, especially in law enforcement, in the schools, wherever it may be, the churches, wherever it may be, when people are supposed to be advocates or they're supposed to be in leadership roles and they do something like that, they should have a higher penalty than a normal person, because they're supposed to be the role models that are needed in the country. And yet we have law enforcement, we have prison guards and officials, we have teachers, we have people out there that should be helping these kids and helping other adults. And here they are calling, name-calling, because of someone's pigmentation. I don't understand it. This is a more escalating issue in America, and it needs to stop. Because it's called the United States for a reason. It's united, representatives over the world. And that's what made this country special. Not America, but the United States. And unfortunately, we have now, and we probably have had right along, a lot of people that felt that they were superior to other races. And I don't know what gave them that idea. But these kids today are learning that we are their role models. And if we have such bad taste, if we have such no morals, what is that going to tell the children today? And a lot of our children are falling because of the way other children are being brought up. Some people, when they lose a relative, a loved one, because of someone else, we need to look into why that someone else felt the way they did, why they came to a situation where they were so depressed or they were so misformed or misled that brought them to that point. But Jessica, I wanted to ask, you can let the audience know a way that they can buy your book, a way that they can get in contact with you if they want to do some volunteer with you or whatever, because we're getting short on time. But also, I wanted to have you back next Saturday at the same time, if possible. That would be the 28th at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that's fine. I would love to be back on the show. I can be contacted. You can go to my website, Jessica Rowe, that's JessicaRowe.com, and you can contact me there, purchase my book, and find out more about me.
Great, great. And you have a lot of information that it's something that really makes the conversation, because everything is what is out there that is needed today, and we need more people like yourself and others that are working on these issues, trying to prevent these kids from going to prison. If only a lot of the law enforcement, a lot of the guards, a lot of the teachers, a lot of the superintendents, principals, if only a lot more of them would come forth and try to do the same thing. We have some good police officers in this country. We have some good
mm-hmm.
prison guards and officials. We have
mm-hmm.
some good teachers out there. But the problem is they're not exposing corrupt. And as long as those corrupt ones are not being exposed, they're putting their own peers at risk. They're putting
mm-hmm.
their own peers at risk because these kids are not going to get better. They're going to get worse if something is not
mm-hmm.
done. So, Jessica, we thank
yeah.
you so much for being on with us today, and we look forward to next Saturday at 11 o'clock having you on with us again. And that is Eastern Standard Time. Thank you again, Jessica. We really appreciate your coming on with us, and we look forward to next week's discussion.
Thank you.
We are now closing, and I thank everyone for listening. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you. Great conversation.